My name is Anastasia Sosunova. I am Lithuanian-based visual contemporary artist working with graphic art, sculpture, video, installation, and writing. In my work, I like intuitively reading different cultural phenomena of this region and translating into visual metaphors and stories.
So, what are the three words that you could use to define your artistic work?
The keywords would be traditions, myths, and codes. And the fourth word, reimagined.
Fascinating, because I wrote down three words of my own to define it.
Yeah.
Do you want to comment it?
No,
Comment it?
I would be very interested to hear yours.
Oh, I wrote dog space and liminality, being on the side,
That's amazing.
and I'm going to interrogate you
Okay.
on this basis, but I'd really love to hear why you chose your words.
I chose my words because I think these are the traditions, myths, and codes are something that I have the most, I guess, painful relationship with. I hate them, and at the same time, I feel that they have a huge power in me. And sometimes it feels that most of my practice is basically just dealing with all of this, with all of these heavy rituals and words and codes, and trying to explain them to myself, and at the same time to maybe the viewers who could be interested in this too.
So, how important is your personal experience and your personal background in your work?
Oh, it's very important. And at the same time, I have to always hold myself back not to fall into being too personal or too like therapeutic about my work, like, self-therapeutic. It's, of course, when I'm trying to then find their ties of these personal experiences to bigger, maybe political processes or historical events or metaphors. Of various like methods, let's say traditions, images. It feels that I kind of translate something that is super specific and particular to something that would be more relatable, especially the let's say ethnic nationalist traditions in Lithuania. I feel that maybe I have more of a level-headed perspective on it than, for example, my Lithuanian friends who for whom some of the images or traditions or rituals are just intertwined, embedded in their family tradition and the way how they feel. So because I sometimes felt a little bit of like a foreigner, I felt that I can also look at it maybe from the other angle. But at the same time, sometimes I can catch myself that I am trying to be very critical of the Russian culture or, let's say, the Soviet heritage that I have. But I feel that maybe someone who also would have an outsider view to these cultures would tell me that. Could catch me and say that, yeah, here we would maybe need some more distance or more of a more objective, yeah, more objective perspective, and you like it.
So, is this what you are trying to research or to look into in your Demikov dog piece? Or
Yes, that's the Demikov Dog is the video installation which I made in 2017. It was a year after my graduation from the Arts Academy. And this was my first try, first step into thinking not only about different representation strategies and communication strategies in a more broad sense, what I was researching during my master's degree. But here I took a step to a more personal topic, basically speaking about just wanting to investigate the topics of bilinguality and double identity, double-headedness, let's say, of the Russian-speaking people in Lithuania. So Demikov Dog was that work that started this conversation for myself, but also I realized that this video was something that other people in the art world felt that they told me that they lacked this kind of work that would be working with this.
Mm-hmm. And the topic of dog, I mean, it's a recurring theme in your work. I believe dogs are fairly important to you. What do they mean to you?
Yes, exactly. Dogs are very important to me. I have a dog myself, and I guess especially through through having this companion, and having to care about this companion, and being guided by this companion through the city, through nature, through different new politics of public space and social interactions that open up to you as a dog person.
So you are a dog person.
I am a dog person.
Not a cat person.
Yes, exactly. And I really like that, yes, dogs, they open these new, let's say, realms for me as a human. First of all, new way of seeing the biopolitical dynamics of the urban spaces. As a human, I have access almost everywhere as a like able-bodied human. But with the dog, I realized that there are new boundaries, new interactions, another way of walking, another way of seeing. And especially when I let my dog guide me through different places to just go wherever he wants, and explore with him the smells, the objects. It's just super interesting. I think it has been very inspiring to me. That's why a lot of projects are in one way or another related to the subject of a dog, or sometimes I just mention it in the essay somewhere, or yes.
How important is space for your artistic work? Because the last piece that you did was quite big. It's called Habitable, and it's an installation taking up the entire paintball shooting range, right?
Exactly.
Could you tell us more about that?
So yes, this project called Habitable, it was a commission for the Riga Biennial of Contemporary Art, which was happening in 2020, August, September. And I made a site-specific installation for the open-air paintball field in this area of Andrei Sala, which was taken over by the Riga Biennial. It's basically a small, very small village. It's built with OSB plywood cabins with kind of window and door passages, but without roofs or doors or glass. The paintball company also built a kind of a temple. Habitable is a sculptural installation. There's a lot of different small domestic environments that are created in each of the cabin and the church and the tavern space, and also in the even along the path you can find something. But we have to remember that it's a realm of paint chemistry, which is all over the place. It's a realm of cats, local cats that live there, and they prey on rodents and pigeons that are in this port area. So it is also about the game that is, or the playing strategies and world building strategies that are there in this paintball field, as it is so much related to the gaming culture and this playability or like interaction logics of the video games. So there is a lot in there, but also a lot of materiality and visuality, like engravings and resin sculpture and baked frames and many more objects. So it was a huge project, and there was a lot of really a lot of thinking about the space and how we handle it, as also as exploring as an audience, but also how I think as an artist about such a big space as basically having a whole village to build. It's interesting. I like talking about it as an open-air ethnographic museum of made-up entities, Draserosporas, whom I let myself just, my mind just wander and make things up the way I imagine, as if it was my museum, but also at the same time being very ironical about the way we build ethnographic museums, how we let ourselves make generalizations about other cultures or make like capsules which freeze in time some communities or civilizations.
But I was I wanted to kind of get back to the Habitable exposition, but also, you know, in relation to your previous work as well, because what struck me was the array of techniques and methods on one side, and materials that you use on another. You use what, aluminium, some kind of resin, some kind of you bake some of your sculpture. So you yourself have background in graphic art and sculpture, right?
Exactly.
How do these, you know, all those techniques and materiality infuse, and how do they work in your art, and what do they mean to you?
Yes, I think that I'm not so much of a thinking personality or artist, but more of a maker. I like crafting things. I like drawing. I like mastering different techniques, but at the same time combine them with some level of dilettantism. We'll see some parts of sculptures or images feel that they are made by someone who's ignorant in that medium or style, and combine it with some just quite geeky skill. And I think it comes from just me being obsessed with drawing and graphic art for a few years, especially in the last years of school, and that's why I came to study graphic art. But of course, when you're living in the 21st century, inevitably it has to lead to somewhere or to be applied somewhere in order not to get into a little bit of a crisis of trying to understand, like, what does it mean for me and why do I do it now in this medium and these old techniques. So then I was studying a little bit of, like, only one year in the master's degree. I went to the sculpture department. I abandoned my passion for drawing and the old printmaking styles. And just, I think a couple of years ago, I started drawing and engraving again and trying to incorporate it into my practice.
Because your work feels at the same time, you know, scrupulously performed, especially the engravings, and you have that chaotic sense of a space that's littered with something, and it's in that sense it's alien to the viewer. It puts one off at the first sight. Objects scattered around sometimes feel like, you know, it's trash, or is this art? Is it, you know, the this kind of you know, pushing the boundaries of of this kind, but at the same time you can really sense that that there are objects that really have a lot of attention and work put into them. Can I ask, I'm curious, polyester resin that you use and also you bake
yes.
as sculpture, so could you tell us more about that? Why?
Well, I guess resin and of course many industries and many artists are using this material. It has different, it's so dynamic as a material. It has different stages of curing, has different stages of temperature and possibilities. And I think it's also the side that I enjoy exploring. And of course, there's a whole world opening up for you as you start working with this material, and also a whole realm of shame of working with this material and paranoia about its toxicity and unhealthiness to the environment. So it's a strange and beautiful and somehow disgusting material at the same time, and you can achieve equally disgusting, beautiful and strange results with it. That's what I like about it. And I also love making these kind of furniture objects which feel like they are actually filled with some kind of a liquid. And it also creates this strange trick with your brain that I see audience all the time kind of trying to poke it and expecting it to be soft and somehow being attracted to it and disgusted by it at the same time, because it feels like it's filled with some kind of body fluid or something. So I like how different materials, they evoke various tactile body sensations, or let's say they wake some body memory in ourselves. And with the salt dough that I bake, it's something completely opposite. I started incorporating it more for the reason that it is usually a medium that children play with instead of clay. When there's, let's be honest, clay is not the most accessible material, especially firing it. And the salt dough is some kind of just the most accessible clay that kids can get. It's something that brings me to childhood and at the same time brings me to thinking about this religious environment that I was brought up in. The Prosphoron and Karavai aesthetics of this Slavic baking, which is very, very abundantly decorated with sculpted out flowers and forms and shapes, and bears such a strong meanings and imagery with itself. So it's cool that this baking medium, it has also, it's not just about, of course, not just about the childish habits and hobbies, but it's also about baking techniques that are, for me, also culturally are interesting.
Heading towards the end, I wanted to ask you about your relationship to Rupert. How has this space impacted your work? How do you see it? And what does it mean to you?
My relationship with Rupert, it started when I applied to the Rupert Alternative Education Program. And at that point, I was on a crossroad. And my memories about this alternative education program inspired me so much and endorsed me so much that it led to most of the most important encounters and projects that I made after that. So I feel like it is one of the most important stages of my last 5 years. This quite spectacular way how they managed to join these focus on locality and engaging in Vilnius community, an arts community, but also more of a general public, and at the same time managing to be quite active internationally.
I wonder if you got any sound or any author's mark that you would like to leave on this series.
Thinking a lot about this, also partly because I do not work with sound, and it is such a field of art that I always leave for someone else to work on or invite someone to collaborate with me and make a soundtrack. That's why I would like to propose this music piece by my good friend Andrei Romanov, who's an artist from Visaginas, which is inspired by the Russian Orthodox Church chants and songs.
Thank you very much for talking to us. It was really nice to see you again. And
you.
Yeah, best of luck with your further work.
Thank you very much. It was super enjoyable, very interesting. Thank you. Thank you.